Hey folks, Matt Donald here. Subscribe to my Patreon! I don't have anything else to say. Patreon.com/MatthewDonald.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that, like a corporalite nugget, looks like gold, but is actually crap. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week, I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genius, a prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by someone who looks like crap but is actually gold. That's not true.
Wow. You need to work on your compliments, Matt.
It's Alan Brooks. How are you?
And I'm back to finish up the dogs.
The little trilogy
dogs
of
to dolphins trilogy that we've been having. And wow, this has been a bit of a change in the past however many millions of years since the last one we did.
Yeah. Last time we led up to Basilosaurus, like we've been building up to it, and how we're like, yeah, it's just seeing them evolve. It's crazy.
Yeah, the one thing I still have to ask you about is, when did the tail get important? Because with Pachycetus and
swimming
and
swimming with using its legs, it's just the fluke would help with it. But let's not get into that just yet. We have to start with the dinosaur related question. I know you're excited. You're excited about Basilosaurus, but it's not time yet. So I have to ask you a dinosaur-related question. So, in honor of Basilosaurus having the stupidest name, because, I mean, look, there's a reason it ends in Saurus. We'll get into it. Because they thought it was like a sea serpent at first, and so they named it King Lizard. But then they realized, oh, wait, this is actually a mammal. Due to the rules of nomenclature, we can't change it. Taxonomical nomenclature and such.
Yeah.
So, in honor of this, what other prehistoric mammal would you propose we rename to end in Saurus, and what would the name be? I'm thinking like mammoths could be like Tuscosaurus.
No, I was actually thinking of that giant, long-necked rhinoceros species.
Oh, the Intricotherium, yeah.
Intricotherium. It's like that one should be more like a Saurus, because darn it, if you gave it a long tail, people would be real hard pressed to tell if it wasn't a sauropod.
Well, I mean the external ears kind of give it away too, though.
Fine, the ears, yes. But other than that, literally give it a tail, chop off the ears, and it looks like a sauropod, and it looks very much like a sauropod, especially in silhouette.
Sure. Oh, for sure, like, for silhouette, for sure. It's basically it's basically a chimerosaurid, where it's like, yeah, like kind of stockier, but still long neck, yeah. So, but what would you call it then? What saurus?
I have no idea. You want to help me come up with one?
Paraceratosaurus or Indricosaurus.
Okay, I like it.
Or just rhinoceros.
Paraceratosaurus, I think I kind of like that one a little bit better, partially because, you know, it,
the funny thing
I don't know. It just is so different from what it has currently that it would take a little while. Though, I do have to
say, Paraceratherium is the name of the Intricother, is what that it is. So,
okay. Okay, so not nearly.
So that's why I call it.
Not nearly as creative, but, you know.
Yeah,
that's
I was thinking of Rhinosaurus because that just means nose lizard.
Despite the fact that there's absolutely no nose, whatever.
I mean, there's a little bit of a nose, I guess, but like, it's like rhinoceros
nose
means
horn,
nose horn,
least.
So yeah,
oh,
nose
good point.
Horn. Yeah.
So nose instead of horn, because I'm like, yeah, there's no horn on in Dricotherium, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, rhinoceros means nose horn, but yeah. So all right, so we're talking about Basilosaurus, not Tuscosaurus or Paraceratosaurus. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Basilosaurus.
Basilosaurus, what was thought to be a giant snake.
Some sort of like reptile,
snake,
like a mosasaur
or
something.
Only for them, probably with the inner thing of the head, to look at this and be like, that ain't no fetching lizard. That doesn't look
like. Yeah, exactly. Well, like, the mosasaur, to be fair, mosasaurs we've known for such a long time. In fact, I think that the mosasaurus was described in the 18th century, so like the late 1700s. That's before any dinosaur. So.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty fascinating. Yawn-worthy, definitely.
No, sorry. But
okay.
Yeah,
it
is interesting that they were found so early. And it does have a very evidence of a convergent evolution, because it does have a fairly similar body plan to the Mosasaurs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they thought this was a relative since it was so early on in the our understanding of paleontology. They thought it was
could have been just another Mosasaur.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no. So what it was a cetacean, a group of artiodactyl mammals that includes dolphins and whales. Like this. This is very much a whale. And like I said, names is Oins and Saurus, like a dinosaur. How dare it? That's for dinosaurs only. Theriums are mammals. Saurus is a dinosaurs. That's what I say. Just ignore Basilosaurus and the dinosaur full girl Therium.
Okay. So,
size 55 to 66 feet / 17 to 20 meters long, 6 to 7 tons. Enormous, but fairly light in build due to its serpentine body and lack of blubber. I remember in Walking with Beasts, they said it weighed 60 tons. I'm like, that's not true at all. That's Walking With deliberately exaggerating once again.
Ah. Okay. How do we know it didn't have blubber?
You know what? That's a darn good question.
Because, I mean, okay, we do know that blubber mostly would evolve as a sort of insulative thing for going for the going to the more Arctic or Antarctic locations, which modern whales often have, because water is a lot colder. But they're just probably guessing due to the climate that it lived in that it probably didn't need blubber because it was warm enough, and it was long enough. Though, if you look like a big noodle, I'm not totally sure if you're going to be super insulated, so maybe it had a thin layer of blubber to keep it warm.
Perhaps, indeed. It was a carnivore, lived in the late Eocene, 41 to 34 million years ago. Location, Egypt, Morocco, Jordan, Tanzania, Pakistan, the United States, and Peru. This thing got around.
Yeah, because it's like most of those look like kind of, you know, it's like kind of a North Africa.
And then he randomly got United States and Peru, too.
And then it suddenly jumps across to the Americas, which at this point were across the smaller but still fairly sizable Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, a lot of them are like that. Like, Leviathan was found in Peru and also, like, somewhere else, too, like somewhere in Morocco or something like that, too. So I guess the bone beds are similar.
Yeah, though Leviathan is going to be much later than this. Which
yes,
you could probably
for
tell
more on that, I did an episode
on
that
bit.
A while back. I think it was like 60-something or 70-something. Described in 1839, pop culture appearances, famously appeared in Walking with Beasts as the protagonist of the second episode, and it reappeared in the spin-off special Chased by Sea Monsters, where, if you recall, Nigel Marvin lured it by using a big ocean speaker where they recorded its noises and then played it back so they thought it would it was another Basilosaurus, so they could lure it in.
That sounds interesting, but I'm like, wouldn't it be more efficient if they'd have just recorded its favorite prey, which was, what, Dorudodon?
Well, that's according to that, yeah. It preyed on a bunch of things. What they think is, like, they'd view it as, like, a territorial thing. So it'd, like, I gotta scare this.
Okay.
Get this guy away.
Of course, that does assume that they had made great use of underwater vocalizations, which, considering Basilosaurus did not have a melon for echolocation and was probably one of the dumber of the way of the
oh no, this was
whales.
Back when they were not nearly as smart as they are now. So
yeah, whales have gotten smarter as time goes on.
But it also appeared in the mobile game Jurassic Park Builder, and as a photograph, its skeleton appeared in the end credits of Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Wait, what?
Yeah, apparently in credits of Godzilla King of the Monsters, you know that big montage of all those different
things, basically.
Things, yeah. One of them is like a skeleton of it, a Basilosaurus.
I can see why. Looking at the skeleton, you just look at this thing and it's like, what is this thing? Until you get to the head and you're like, oh, it looks like some kind of
those are pretty
whale.
Mammalian teeth. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Mammalian teeth, the flippers look pretty mammalian, but after the rib cage, it just looks like a giant tail.
Also, apparently, it's mentioned in the novel Moby Dick as well. Ishmael cites Basilosaurus during his studies as a possible whale fossil. So, that's how I know this thing's old. Because Moby Dick is... Yeah, because, like, when did Moby Dick come out? Hold on, let me check. 1851. My dad read Moby Dick, and he really, really loved it. I have tried to read it. It is a deep and heavy book. Like, it is dense. And if you're not into the logistics of the whaling industry, it is boring. But the interesting thing is, like, it spends the whole thing building up to it. The climactic showdown between Ahab and the whale, where he's like in a storm with a harpoon. It's like there she blows, all that stuff. That's like the last chapter.
And there's a lot of
or like the second to last
there.
Chapter. And then spoiler alert, it ends with them all dying except for Ishmael, who like the ship getting destroyed by Moby Dick, and Ishmael is like left to be adrift on a bit of wood, floating wood. I don't know if he gets rescued or not. I honestly don't really care.
But, yeah.
Harsh, I know.
Yeah. Though I think in predator behavior, I would say Bacillosaurus would probably be more akin, a little bit like a solo, like sort of a halfway point between sperm whales and modern orcas, because
oh,
they
for sure. Well, sperm whales, they don't really feed on yeah. big prey other than giant squids.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's kind of big like a sperm whale, and it's mostly solitary. Terry, I don't know. We're trying.
Yeah,
to...
well, as far as we know, I mean, it's
as
it's
far
kind of
as we
to...
know, or no, it was solitary, like the... a large predator, but like orcas, it would go after the little bit oddly. It would mostly
They'd
go after
group...
other whales and fish, and
they probably group up during mating season, but that's
well,
like it.
Yeah, but that's everything groups up at mating season. Let's
that's
be
true.
Real.
That's
that
I'm saying like big
not
groups.
A very good. Reducing qualifier. Anyway, one thing I want to talk about with Bacillosaurus, or more like just the evolution of whales, is when the heck did the tail become the tail that we know? I mean, for a while...
Pretty early on. Keep in mind, this Bacillosaurus was from 41 million years ago at the earliest, which means this is still 25 million years after the extinction of the dinosaurs. 26, yeah, 25. No, because if we have 41 to 66. So 25 million years is all it took from mammals to get to these tiny tree-climbing shrew things into these giant serpentine monstrous whales. 25 million years. That is all it took.
It is a ridiculously fast. But again, I'm like, I honestly would have expected them to go more the route of seals and sea lions with using
Well, some
their...
of them did, I guess, but...
Wait, really?
It's just... Well, I mean, seals and sea lions, I think pinnipeds are date back around this time, too. Let me just double-check on that. Hold on.
Because I was thinking, I thought they were an entirely
Nope,
family.
Sorry, my mistake. Pinnipeds appeared in the late Oligocene first 24 million years ago, so...
Okay. Because, so... yeah, it's like, I would have thought with the body plan they had during Pachycetus and Amblyocetus that they would their tail would vanish, their legs would become either seal or sea lion esque and use that to swim. But then
well,
they
I
just,
guess in that
they
in that
a giant
if they were to do that they'd be
fluke.
They'd be competition for the sharks, I think, is that they'd be so for the predators. So like they just evolved to get bigger. So
yeah. Well, it's not the size, it's the development of the tail that I'm most interested in, because
I mean, I can see that, especially if they're already swimming by kicking their back legs and moving their spine up and down. Having a fluke is an obvious advantage.
Yeah, but I'm just, how did it,
you That's
know,
one of the reasons why whale flukes are pointed, you know, horizontally, while fish flukes and ichthyosaur flukes are pointed vertically, because the way the spine moves.
Yeah, that's how the spine would move, but I'm like, yeah, I just don't get how the evolution went from, you know, how the tail developed into this gigantic thing.
That always, yeah, of course. But that always makes me laugh about, like, mermaids, for instance, because mermaids are half human. Even though they have fish tails, they swim like mammals. They swim like whales. They swim with their fish tails going up and down. I think that's very funny.
That's a really interesting side tangent. Maybe they should have more tail flukes like a dolphin.
That's what I'm wondering, yeah. But then they're not as pretty, you know. You, like if you ever saw the new live action Little Mermaid with Halle Bailey, like her tail is gorgeous. It is like tropical colored. You know, it's not just the purple tail. Well, no, the green tail from the cartoon. It's like it's vibrant and like it's just it like the way the fins look. It's more
like
a tropical
those weird
fish,
fighting fish kind of.
Yeah,
tails.
It's beautiful. It's like iridescent. It's like oh man. So But
I wouldn't be very.
But you can't really do that with a dolphin tail. Like,
yeah,
but it
would
make
say
more
dolphin
sense.
Tail would make them a heck of a lot faster.
Yeah, you'd think.
I would never try. But, I would never want to choose a one of those fighting fish versus a dolphin in a race.
Oh, for sure. Oh, well, to be fair, a A sailfish is the fastest fish in the ocean. Or the fastest thing in the ocean, I think, too. It's faster than a dolphin.
What? Oh, but yeah, if you look at the tail on that thing looks like a crescent moon.
That's true.
Yeah.
I do like those shark tails that look, not, they're so pointed, they look like those pirate swords.
Oh, yeah.
They have like an extra point.
But yeah, again, I still don't
I know,
get
the tail.
The tail, it's like...
I don't know why this is, I actually think that makes sense to me. Like, it's just because it's an obvious advantage. As soon as it got the mutation, there would be no reason for it not to keep it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not doubting that. I'm just surprised that they went with tail-based propulsion rather than limb-based propulion.
I'd wager it's better conservation of energy. Like, kicking takes more energy than just moving your back up and down.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, I wager that's probably the reason. But, yeah, in terms of Allosaurus, it was the top predator of its environment, obviously. It preyed
another
upon smaller whales.
Another point in its comparison to orcas.
Yep. Apparently, it fed... there are two species of Basilosaurus. Well, Basilosaurus isis, unfortunate name there, but again, it's based on before the... it's because it's from Egypt and before the group. That's the one that fed off of juvenile Dorodon, where there's been bite marks of the skulls of juvenile Dorodon. But then the smaller one, Basilosaurus cetoides, it fed exclusively on fish and large sharks. So I'd wager, you know, back to the Mosasaurus comparison, this is pretty similar, probably in like ecology, you know, like.
Oh yeah,
and, like,
definitely. It's definitely almost the exact same comparison.
Because like,
same place.
I remember like when Jurassic World Dominion first came out, and like it showed at the end the Mosasaurus befriending those humpback whales. At first, I thought, oh, that's kind of cheesy. Would eat them, right? And I'm thinking about it, like, well, no, because back in Mosasaurus's day, it didn't have prey that big. Like the only thing that big was other Mosasaurs at the time it lived in. So it would probably view it as a rival, maybe, but if not, it would be a friend. Yeah, so like, or at least a, maybe not a friend, but like, I mean, those interspecies friendships happen, interspecies partnerships. Like,
and quite frankly, it would be allowed, because I mean, no one wants to mess with a Mosasaurus.
Because a humpback whale is not only too big, but it's also wouldn't be a threat to the Mosasaurus at all.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely crossover in that regard.
So like it makes sense for them to kind of pair up. The Mosasaurus could protect the humpback whale and the bait, especially the calves of the bait. Yeah, so in return, yeah, I don't know. Point is that Mosasaurus preyed on like smaller things like sharks, occasionally some big turtles like Archelon, and smaller Mosasaurs. But nothing as big as themselves. And this is the same with Basilosaurus. It fed on turtles, large fish, smaller whales. It's basically the same.
Yeah, basically the same. Just replace some things.
I feel bad for those poor sharks that are constantly like, hey, we're at the top of the food chain. Oh, wait, nope, we're not. Oh, we're at the top of the food chain. Oh, wait, no, we're not.
Yep.
They're always getting usurped.
Always getting usurped. Oh well. That's.
But at the same time, they're just so good at what they do that they just they'll you know, like bigger species come and go, dominant ones come and go, but the sharks will always be there.
Yeah, and so Basilosaurus, big predator. One thing I remember finding is apparently they may have chewed their food, which is an interesting idea.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because most things
like
you find them,
rip
they don't
it apart
chew their
and,
food.
Like,
they bite a big chunk and swallow. Bite and swallow. Bite and swallow. If there's any kind of...
Yeah, because like... I know like...
be done, you use your body for it. So for some...
Right, because I know orcas, they actually prey on blue whales, orcas do. So the things they do is they often go for like the lips and the tongues, which is violent as hell. But... and so I'm assuming they just, yeah, they grab onto it, and they use their body to just rip it off. Like,
yeah.
But, like, yeah, this it would chew, yeah, so you could take a portion out of something, yeah. Ugh. And in terms of Basilosaurus' extinction, its fossil sea record seems to end after the Eocene-Augustine extinction event. This event, the Eocene Oligocene extinction event, it's not a mass extinction, but it was still enough of an extinction to be notable. Obviously, any extinction, like, an extinction event is not just when one species goes extinct, it's when a bunch of species do. And so this is, like, not a mass extinction, but a minor extinction. And it not only killed Basilosaurus, it killed all of Basilosaurus's group of whales, which are known as the Archaeocetoids, so which is like the old whales. Yeah. Hmm. And the extinction of Basilosaurus is what prompted the diversification of modern cetaceans, the Neocetoids, and these are early toothed and baleen whales, and they are the ones that evolved into our modern-day toothed whales and baleen whales. And so, at this time, there were no baleen whales. It was just toothed whales. And they weren't modern toothed whales, so they weren't related to toothed whales, but they were carnivorous whales. So.
Yeah, carnivorous whales. Because apparently one of the things that sets apart many toothed whales is their ability for echolocation, which...
Yeah.
Apparently modern sperm whales are... can get really painfully loud with that sort of thing. Kind of an advantage that Basilosaurus is entirely missing. It's like it cannot echolocate, which means it would have to rely on sight, which means you have to have binocular vision for it in order to do it. And
it's a thing that like some things have.
You can
so it
survive
makes
that way, but they wouldn't have the scent. Scent and smell analog that sharks do, as well as the electroreception. So it's kind of amazing that they managed to do so well. It probably was due to their, despite their lackluster intelligence, they may have been
they were just brute force. Just smart is enough. What it was. Well, what I'm sorry, what were we gonna say?
Oh, I was actually gonna say it's kind of amazing that they managed to take the top spot. I'm not totally sure how. What do you think would be? Why they took the top spot? Was it just
I think it's brute force.
Size?
I think it's size and brute force, yeah.
True.
It doesn't take let's like well look at the other ones, like Dunkleosteus is it's not intelligent. Like yeah. Mosasaurs I don't think were particularly intelligent either, so
no.
It's just the whales really.
Whales
although
got
I
big
think,
enough.
Yeah, although to be fair, sometimes predators don't have to need to be intelligent. It's like T-Rex being the overpowered freak it is one of the inceptions. It's actually one of the biggest brains of any dinosaur relative to its body size, even though it's freaking enormous. So T-Rex is just overpowered in every way.
Yeah.
That's pretty much Basilosaurus. It's just a... it's not even like we could continue this little mini series of whale evolution if you wanted. Although, Livia Titan I've already done. But yeah. It's just interesting to see, 25 million years is all it took from the first artiodactyls to, it was 10 million years is when they came in. So, let's see if I can find out what the starting point was, and then we can finish it off here. All right.
That looks like it would be Indohyus, which was 49 to 48 million years ago.
Well, no, I'm talking about like when the dinosaurs died. When
65?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Pan Eungulatia, all true ungulates, cladoplacental mammals, and they range from the early late Cretaceous, 79 to 5 years ago to now. Let's go to... Okay, this is I think this is probably our starting point. We could probably do this. We'd have to go back. But Protungulatum. It's the extinct genus of Eutheria mammals, possibly the earliest known placental mammals in the fossil record. And it is the one that evolved into other placental mammals as well as the whales. So, and it lived from 70 to 63 million years ago. So it means it was a survivor of the mass extinction. So
yeah. From 65 million years to Basilosaurus's 41 million years ago was all it took for mammals to go from basically the proto mammals to kings of the ocean that quite frankly have not been overthrown despite a valiant attempt from Megalodon. But
exactly.
That sucker
it
had
tried.
Competition from Leviathan.
Leviathan or whatever
Leviathan,
it is.
Leviathan, which, yeah. That's a scary thing.
Oh,
but,
for sure. It's funny to see, like,
the modern
day
orcas that whales have basically took a very, very brief time to go from nothing to kings of the ocean.
From nobody to nightmare, the TV trope. So, mare.
Yes, very much so.
All right, well, I'm going to rate it 55 million out of 65 million. Maybe 56 million, because it's pretty cool. But I don't know, mosasaurs are cooler. It's reptile.
They're missing a lot of the things that would make later toothed whales really good. The intelligence they're missing, they are lacking entirely the completely busted ability of echolocation. So, yeah, I'd
and
put
apparently
about,
they don't have blubber either, but that just means
blubber,
they're different
enough. Means that they couldn't, well, they could not invade the colder water areas, which is actually the more rich areas to, if you want to, you know, get lots of food.
Well, that's the advantage that had made the whales safe from Megalodon, because the reason that Megalodon went extinct, we think, is because when the Ice Age came, all of its prey moved further north while Megalodon was reduced to the tropics because it couldn't survive up in the north. And then its prey all left, and it could survive up north. It was starved to extinction.
Huh.
So, yeah. So what are you going to rate it?
I was going to say about 50 million. I mean, it is starting to get the reasons why whale. It is basically when whales started to realize, oh, hey, we can do this whole kings of the ocean thing.
King lizards of the ocean.
King,
they're like, wait a minute.
King lizard. Yeah, that one is definitely one they might need to rename.
They but can't, yeah, they though. That's the really frustrating thing. It's like, if you as a joke, when you're drunk and you name a paper, or you write a paper to name a dinosaur Goo Goo Gagasaurus, and then it ends up being a valid species, guess what? It sticks.
It sticks. Man, but yeah.
Goo Goo Gagasaurus ends
up being... Definitely learning what being a whale means. Mm-hmm. Sad they went, but
I'm glad they're gone. I don't have to deal with them when I swim.
Yeah. But yeah. Through the things that happened with Basilosaurus, we now have the orcas, the dolphins, the sperm whales, and all that stuff. A great addition to this planet Earth.
A great addition to the collection of sea predators.
Sea predators. Yep. All right.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's it for this week. You'll get another show and contact me at paleobitespodcast@gmail.com, at paleobitespod on Twitter, and paleobitespodcast on Instagram. You can find me in social media at MethodonCreator on Facebook, at Methodon64, everywhere else. So, like, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. If you want to send Al any messages for whatever reason, I guess send a message to the paleobitespod and I'll relay any messages that you might have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it would be, but yeah, maybe DM questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for this week.
All right. That's
it. As I say at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites, so.
All right.
Bye,
everyone.
Bye.